Blog Talk Radio.
All right, here we are back, Sports Page Radio Network. It's time for Seth and Sean. Seth and Sean Sports filling in for Sean Palmer and I guess Seth Kamens. It is I, Randy Zellier from Real Sports Talk Radio. Let me just remind you that you can get all the archives of the Seth and Sean Sports Show exclusively at BeckSportsPage.com, as well as on iTunes and BlogTalkRadio.com/BeckSportsPage as we wait Seth Kamens. Lots of sports news going on. Of course, yesterday the passing of college basketball great Dean Smith. We'll talk about him in a few minutes in that situation. Also, we're preparing for the NBA All-Star break this upcoming weekend. Super Bowl officially in the books, as Seth and Sean probably talked about last week. We'll dive into that a little bit. Also, Nicole Monique from That's What She Says Sports. She's a contributor to BeckSportsPage.com. She'll join us around the 725, 730 mark, and we'll just talk about sports and just randomly go on forward. So don't forget BeckSportsPage.com. You can listen to all the archives of Seth and Sean Sports. You can check out the show every Monday at 7 p.m. live and download the archives during the week. That's Seth and Sean Sports for Seth Kamens and Sean Palmer. So right now, let's jump into a little bit of topics here, sports topics. First part of the news is brought to you by ESPN.com. They have all the updated scores and sports headlines. You can go to ESPN.com for all your sports news. Interesting story within the NBA. Jim Dolan responding and responding to their fan base, talking about the job he's doing as an owner since he's taken over the reins of Madison Square Garden. Very interesting to see how this whole mess has played out for Jim Dolan, telling fans that they don't like what he's doing, that they should go become Net fans. Not really cool. Not really a big fan of how he handled that. I just think that at this point in time, the Knicks have enough bad press when they have their president of basketball operations coming out and basically saying, we stink, this is where we are right now. This is what's going on with us. That's it. You know, you don't need any more negative press. And that's what the Knicks have right now. The Knicks are in a very, very bad situation. Not that the Nets across the town is in much better shape. Brooklyn fighting out. They're outside the playoff picture right now, chasing the Miami Heat for the final spot. A battered and injured Miami Heat. People thought the Miami would be there for the five or six spot, competing for a playoff spot, not being the same team they were, obviously, with LeBron James being there, but still fighting and competing. And they're still fighting and competing, but they'll be an eighth seed if it started today, getting the Atlanta Hawks in the first round. I think if Atlanta ends up playing the Miami Heat in the first round, you can actually consider possibly talking upset with the experience that the Miami Heat have of not being able to close out the Miami Heat. Miami Heat have a very, very experienced squad with Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, Mario Chalmers, Udonis Haslem. They've had the experience before, so I don't understand why it wouldn't happen again. Also, the other two teams that are fighting for their playoff lives in the Eastern Conference, the Charlotte Hornets, back in that seventh spot, is where they finished off last year, playing much better basketball. They dug themselves a hole. What a job Steve Clifford has done with the situation he's had with Al Jefferson being hurt, Lance Stephenson not being a great fit. Very interesting to see how that team is starting to come together. Gerald Henderson always playing well. They're playing without Kemba Walker right now. The Hornets are starting to come together with Lance Stephenson. I don't know if you make a move right now because the team is starting to gel together. They have to get to the 500 mark. The sixth spot in the Eastern Conference is owned by the Milwaukee Bucks. I think we could put the rest the whole Jason Kidd can't coach thing, because whatever the situation of his departure from Brooklyn, it goes out the window. This is no longer a conversation of, is he a good coach? Is he a bad coach? Look, the guy is doing an unbelievable job of coaching the team, Milwaukee, and they also lost Jabari Parker in the beginning of the year. So that's the other thing that people are forgetting about this. He took a team that wasn't really responding, from last year from the Nets. Too many guys who he played with. I think that's also a part that everyone seems to forget. Jason Kidd played against guys like Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. So they didn't look at him as really as a coach. They looked at him as almost a peer who's now in a coaching position. I don't think it was the best overall situation for Jason Kidd. I'm happy to see that the Milwaukee Bucks have come together and they're now sort of firmly in that sixth spot in the Eastern Conference. Reminding everybody, they want to join in the conversation, 760-283-0846. 760-283-0846. Feel free to join in the conversation. You can fight with me if you want. Just to answer the, get back to that point that I just made about the Milwaukee Bucks. They're firmly in that sixth spot, 28-33. They are three games behind the Cleveland Cavaliers, who had their winning streak snapped, and they won yesterday against the Los Angeles Lakers. They're half game back of Washington, who finally got a win. They beat Brooklyn the other night. Chicago has won two straight. Finally, they're trying to right the ship. They're officially 10 back. Toronto's number two with seven back. Atlanta, of course, finally had their losing streak snapped a couple of days ago. They beat the Golden State Warriors in a great game on Friday night. So that's your top eight of the Eastern Conference, with Detroit and Brooklyn outside looking in, trying to fight to get in. And also throw Indiana and Boston in there, only two games back of Miami. In the Western Conference, it's a little bit different. People know about the race for eight. The race for the eighth spot, Phoenix is number eight. New Orleans is a game behind. Oklahoma City, two back. It's going to be a battle all the way till the end of the season. The Los Angeles Clippers are very, very beat up. They're only a half a game ahead of the San Antonio Spurs for the sixth spot. And they're a game and a half behind the Dallas Mavericks. Portland is number four, a half a game ahead of Dallas. Houston, number three, a half a game ahead of Houston. Ahead of Portland, I apologize. And Memphis is number two, three games back of Golden State. Golden State at 40-9, and Atlanta at 42-10. Golden State with the best record in the league. Do you think either of the two best records in the NBA are going to be in the NBA Finals? Let's hear your voice, 760-283-0846. 760-283-0846. We'll hear your view, especially since the Clippers now also, this broke. Blake Griffin undergoes successful surgery. That was just sent to us by the Los Angeles Clippers PR staff. Blake Griffin will be reevaluated in 3 weeks, at which time they'll give a further update to see how he is. Are the Clippers a team we should consider a championship contender? I don't know. I don't think so. I still think they're missing a good wing player. I like Matt Barnes. I like J.J. Redick, but those are guys who I don't want the ball in their hand at a big crunch time. Jamal Crawford is a great guy, a good clutch player, who at the end of the game can put the ball up. He loves to shoot the ball like crazy. I trust him. I trust Jamal Crawford at the end of the day to do something with it, but you're still missing that three spot. I like Matt Barnes. He's an okay player, but he's a good reserve player. He's not a starter. He's had success everywhere he's gone. He's played with the Lakers. He's played with the Houston Rockets. He's played, of course, with Toronto. He has also played briefly with the Knicks, played with the Orlando Magic. Matt Barnes has gotten around the league. More injury news for the Clippers. Big Baby Davis got hurt. Just all around trouble for the Los Angeles Clippers. So it's a tough go. It's been a tough go for the Clippers. Are they really a championship team? That's something that we'll keep discussing. If you're tuning in right now, expecting to hear Sean Palmer and Seth Kamens. Just filling in for tonight. I am Randy Zellia. You can always hear us on Real Sports Talk Radio. We bounce around the schedule, but you can always listen to the archives of the show on backsportspage.com and on iTunes. Always go to blogtalkradio.com/backsportspage. And, of course, like I just said before, backsportspage.com. Have all the archives on there. Passing of a legend, Dean Smith, passed away this past weekend at the age of, I believe it was 85 years old. Wow. What a legend he was. How many great college players did he coach? that went to the big leagues, just the effect that he had, not just in college basketball, but just in college sports, just the consistency and just the legacy he leaves behind at the age of 83. He believed that loyalty and teamwork led to winning. There's nothing else that can ever be said about that. He coached guys like Vince Carter, Michael Jordan, Sam Perkins, James Worthy, so many Hall of Famers went through Dean Smith's system. Heavy hearts right now for the UNC family of the passing of Dean Smith. It's sad. It's such a sad, sad state when you lose a legend like that. It's one of those things where, they have the Dean though. It's the Dean though. You can't deny that. You can't pass through that. He was an amazing, amazing coach and just as an amazing person. So I think that's telling when you have an outcry of people loving you, that says a lot about your character and the way you are as a person. Also, right now, for those who didn't hear the news earlier today, the founder of the NFL Network, Ed Sable, dies at the age of 98. I mean, you pass away at the age of 98. You have such a beautiful lifespan. It's just a beautiful. It's a great life. He's done so much for the sports world. Just done so much for NFL films and the NFL Network. The growth of the game would never have gone from a media standpoint as much as it would have without Ed Sable. So thankful for Ed. He has contributed where he has, done what he's done, and heavy hearts go out to his family for the passing of Ed Sable at the age of 98. So this weekend's NBA All-Star Weekend. I love the cast of the three-point shootout. You have Kyle Korver in there. You have I just read so many names. I'm gonna pull up that list while we're waiting. It's a great lineup this year for the NBA three-point shootout. The NBA Slam Dunk Contest is such a disappointment event over the last few years. Really, really haven't enjoyed that whatsoever. I really wish they would do more with it. I wish that the guys like LeBron would step up and do something. I wish they would just do a little bit. I don't know. I just wish the slam dunk contest was taken a little bit more seriously by the league. It's not what it was when Vince Carter was doing it. Every single year, we have one guy who throws down a couple different dunks, and we keep yelling the slam dunk contest back. But it's not. It's not. Michael Jordan and the rest of the league. I don't know. I'm not sold on him. It's so mean for me to say it. I love the game so much. I love the NBA so much. And I'm pulling up the three-point shooting roster as we speak. And I'll tell you that this is the best three-point shooting class we've had that I can remember. You have Wesley Matthews, J.J. Redick, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, Marcos Bellinelli, Kyle Korver, Klay Thompson, and my choice for NBA MVP this year, Stephen Curry. That's going to be an awesome three-point shooting contest. I cannot wait to watch it. It's going to be so much fun. It's going to be much better than the slam dunk contest, which, again, it's a bunch of nobodies, and that's not fair to it's not fair to say that, but it's the truth. I guess it's the truth. That's what do you possibly say at that point in time? You put a bunch of guys in there that nobody really, despite slam dunk contest, dunkers take center stage All-Star Saturday night. You have there's not a marquee name in here. And that's the part that's disturbing to me. Mason Plumlee, 11 from the Timberwolves, Oladipo from the Magic, and Antetokounmpo, I can't pronounce his name. Oh my God. From the Milwaukee Bucks. I can't pronounce his name. So that's your All-Star Saturday night. That's what you're supposed to get very excited about. I'm almost asking that they either eliminate the slam dunk contest or let the three-point shooting contest end it. Because those names in the three-point shooting contest, that'd be awesome. I wish they'd go back to the old style where everybody gets two rounds. That'd be awesome. I would love that. That'd be great. NBA All-Star Saturday night, they need to do something. I love the idea of the celebrity game on Friday night. But this is also a very much more complicated NBA All-Star weekend because it's in Brooklyn and it's in New York City. It's in two different places. It's on Friday night and it's in the festivities at the Garden. No, I'm sorry. They have the celebrity game at the Garden and they have the rookie sophomore game in Brooklyn. They have All-Star Saturday night in Brooklyn. And then they have the game on Sunday at the Garden. So it doesn't get any more confusing than that. And I'm also not really thrilled with the All-Star lineups this year because of injuries. Kobe Bryant, Blake Griffin went down. I'll go over the NBA roster. And we're also going to get Nicole Monique from That's What She Said Sports. She's going to join me and talk with me, and we'll definitely go over all the whole roster. You have Carmelo Anthony, LeBron James, Pau Gasol, John Wall, Kyle Lowry, Chris Bosh, Jimmy Butler, Al Horford, Kyrie Irving, Paul Millsap, Jeff Teague, and Dwayne Wade. Not happy that Kyle Korver got left off that list. Western Conference All-Stars, Russell Westbrook, Klay Thompson, Chris Paul, Damian Lillard, James Harden, Kevin Durant, Tim Duncan, DeMarcus Cousins, LaMarcus Aldridge, Stephen Curry, Anthony Davis, Kobe Bryant, who's injured, Blake Griffin, who's injured, Marcus Gasol. Very excited for the first-time All-Stars. Jeff Teague, Jimmy Butler, Kyle Lowry. That's, you know, Marcus Gasol. Great, great news for him. And DeMarcus Cousins, very, very excited. You know, a couple different injuries they've already announced. So it's very, very exciting. I love the NBA All-Star weekend, Saturday night. I think the slam dunk contest is going to be a bomb. I think the celebrity game will be fun. Last year they had Mike and Mike in the morning competing against each other. Lots of fun with that. Rookie sophomore game. No such thing as defense in that rookie sophomore game. The key is for the guys to show up and have fun and not get hurt. That's, I think, that always seems to be the challenge / the fun / everything they can possibly do. Appreciate the NBA All-Star game. I loved it for years. A lot of guys like actually having the time off. Once they made it once, they're like, all right. Yeah. There's all the hoopla that goes with it. The NBA All-Star hoopla. We'll be joined by Nicole Monique in about a few minutes. She's going to join us. We'll discuss the NBA All-Star Weekend. We're going to discuss Dean Smith. We're going to discuss some of the news around the National Football League as well. We'll preview That's What She Said Sports. This is Seth and Sean reminding you to go to backsportspage.com and to listen to all the archives of the Seth and Sean Show. You can follow them on Twitter, Seth and Sean Sports, and on Facebook as well. Also, backsportspage.com, of course, has all of their archives, and you can follow the boys also on Twitter. They're there. They're right there. And so we're going to be joined by Nicole Monique, yeah, from That's What She Says Sports. Don't forget Real Sports Talk Radio will return this upcoming Sunday. I'll have a special guest on with me to be announced, so check it out. I hope you do. Flying a little solo here tonight. Seth Kamens was supposed to join us. I guess something got held up. It just didn't work out, so I'm on my own. Just filling in. So if I sound like I'm a little discombobulated, it's just because I went in not a little blind, but just didn't put too much of a show together. But it's okay. We're making it up as we go along. Talking about the NBA All Star Weekend. By the way, if you want to find me, you can find me at RandyBSB and listen to my crazy outtakes of the sports world. Backsportspage.com. I'm also there. Real Sports Talk Radio on Facebook. Real Sports Talk Radio. Hashtag there on Twitter. On the old Twitter. It's right there. We're welcoming Nicole Money from That's What She Says Sports, contributor with Vax Sports page. Nicole, I'm flying solo here for Seth and Sean. I thought we were going to have a few more people with us, but, you know, it's just me flying solo. But good evening. How are you?
I'm great, Randy. How are you doing tonight?
Good. We're switching spots. This now you're calling into this show, or as I was.
I know.
And it feels good to be wanted, doesn't it?
Well, it does, and it also feels weird to give up control. But for you, you know, I'll do anything. So.
Yeah, I know you. Right now, you're ready to dictate. You're like, so Randy, talk to me about this. Wait, what? Wait a minute. This
I know. I have like 50 questions I have to remember. Right. I have 50 questions I have to remember. Do not ask a question. Just sit back and relax and have fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, instead of it being one of those okay, well, I'm going to ask the question, you're going to give the answer, let's just have the conversation about sports. I think that's the best way of doing it. You can join me for a good 20 minutes, and then you and I will both disappear into our own destinations. So I was going into the All-Star weekend a little bit here. I just read off the rosters and the three-point shooting, you know, rosters as well, and the
slam dunk.
I am so not looking forward to the slam dunk contest. It's going to bother me. And
well, let me ask you: is there any key names? I only know about the three-point shooters. I don't know about the slam dunk contest.
No, and that's the crazy part. The roster for slam dunk is Mason Plumlee from the Brooklyn Nets. Lavin from the Timberwolves, Oladipo from the Orlando Magic, and I can't even pronounce the last name of the guy from the Bucks. So he's got that really long last name. And it took a, you know, okay, I'm not even going to attempt to do it because I sound like ridiculous when I try and say it. I can't wait for the announcer to have the pronunciation thing on his desk for it. That's going to be awesome. But that's your slam dunk roster.
No, it doesn't. And this is the thing that's always infuriated me over the last few years. It's called All-Star Weekend for a reason. And there's a reason why for years, I mean, it's probably too late now, that we were begging LeBron and, you know, those type of guys to dunk, because it's All-Star. But over the past few years, they bring in these no-names, and then the All-Stars just play the game. You know,
right.
We want to see the stars do something. That's the whole point. I mean, that's why I miss, you know, back in the day where you had Jordan, you know, just as an example, who actually participated in the slam dunk contest. That's the kind of stuff fans want to see. And it's nothing to those guys, you know, seriously, I don't mean to, you know, kind of wave them off. But like you said, some of those people, we don't even know. So we're just going to be watching it, trying to make the most of it. But we want to see the stars participate.
Well, and that's the thing, too. And this is something that I have an issue with. And I want to throw this at you and see how you feel. I'm just pulling up also the roster for a three-point shootout as well. Here's my problem. I have a problem when guys like Kevin Durant, who are the superstars in the league, participating in the three-point shootout. Because when it comes to the three-point shootout, I found it something special about it in the heyday of the mid-90s. When you got the Jeff Hornacek's and the Mark Price's and the guys who were able to shoot the lights out, all competing in the three-point. Steve Kerr. The three-point specialist being in the three-point shootout. When Paul Pierce won it, I was like, oh, really? Not that Paul's a bad three-point shooter, but he's not a specialist. I think it's a specialist competition, just like the skill competition is a point guard position. You know, that's a point guard competition there. The skills challenge. So if you look at the roster for the three-point contest, I look at it and I say, out of the eight guys, two of them, you can make an argument for two of the guys shouldn't even be in this competition.
Who are the two guys for you?
Okay, James Harden, because I think Harden's more of a scorer than he is a three-point shooter.
Right, I agree with that one.
And Kyrie Irving. Again, more of a scorer than a three-point shooter. The other six, I love. I love Wesley Matthews. Wesley Matthews can shoot the lights out. J.J. Redick, he can shoot the lights out.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be good.
Marcos Bellinelli, He can shoot the ball. Atlanta's own Kyle Korver. We all know he can shoot the ball.
Oh, yeah.
Klay Thompson, who can shoot the ball.
Right.
And like I said before, my pick for the MVP this year, Stephen Curry. He can shoot the three ball.
Definitely. Yeah, and I feel you. Looking at Harden, you're just kind of like scratching your head on that one. Like they just had a, you know, like it's almost like they didn't have anybody else to throw into the mix.
Yeah, I'm just not a fan of it. I'm not a fan of that selection. Everything else is fine. Like if you look at the skills challenge, I haven't looked at the skills challenge roster. So you have Isaiah Thomas from Phoenix. So okay. Okay, John Wall, of course, I think is probably one of the best point guards in the league. Michael Carter Williams from Philadelphia. Jeff Teague, who, again, you can make it an argument for. You have Travis Burke from Utah. You have Knight. I can't believe they put Knight in here. And this is the one you're gonna have to help me with, Nicole. Because
okay.
You have Brandon Knight from Milwaukee's in there. Why is Jimmy Butler from the Chicago Bulls in the Taco Bell Skills Challenge?
Yeah, I don't get that. And then let me ask you this. Are they partnering up with the WNBA again this year?
For the other event?
For the Skills Challenge. I thought for the Skills Challenge. Isn't that the one where they partner with the WNBA?
No, that's something different. This skill competition thing where they throw the ball through the bucket, they have to do a layup, and they have to do...
Oh, the obstacle course. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm not understanding Jimmy Butler in there. And then the last guy in there is Kyle Lowry. So I get all of them. I get the only one I don't get there is Jimmy Butler. Why is Jimmy Butler in there? I don't get that. It baffles me. You're laughing at me. That's not fair to laugh at me. I think I have a legitimate argument. I'm trying to figure out. He's a shooting guard. You know,
I think we've kind of set the case with all the different things that they're doing, you know, Friday and Saturday. A lot of it just doesn't make any sense. And it almost comes down to, let me ask you this, Randy. Do you think it's because we don't have the stars from yesterday? Is the NBA trying to make something from nothing almost?
Yes and no. I think they're trying to make up. And by the way, the shooting stars challenge is what you were talking about with the NBA.
Okay.
And the WNBA.
Right, with the WNBA. Okay.
And here are those teams real quick. I'll answer your question in a second. Team Bosch.
Sure.
You have Team Bosch, Chris Bosch, Dominic Wilkins, and Swin Cash. Then
okay,
you have
that's cool.
You have Team Curry, Stephen Curry, Del Curry, which is awesome, and Sue Bird. And Sue Bird is, and I mean this in the nicest way possible. I think Sue Bird is probably one of the hottest WNBA players. Anthony Davis, which is now in question because of his injury, and which, by the way, I should never have said what I said on your show the other day.
What'd you say?
If you remember correctly, when we were
about his jump shot.
No, I said basically, knock on wood, as long as he doesn't get hurt, and then what happens that night? He gets hurt in a game.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to say anything, but okay. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. don't put that on me. You have Anthony Davis, Scottie Pippen, and Elena Dell, and then Team Westbrook is Russell Westbrook, Anthony Penny Hardaway, and Tamika Catchings. So
now, let me tell you something. Out of everything that you've read, that competition right there is going to be awesome. I think all the teams are going to be pretty good. I'm looking forward. Now I'm more excited about that one.
But to answer your question about are they trying to make something out of nothing with these stars?
Mm-hmm.
Think about this. Think back 20 years ago, right after the Dream Team got done. You looked around the league. You knew who these players were, and I'm talking about Hall of Fame wise. You knew when you played the Portland Trailblazers or the Houston Rockets, Clyde Drexler is a Hall of Famer, Hakeem Olajuwon is a Hall of Famer, Patrick Ewing is a Hall of Famer, David Robinson is a Hall of Famer. You can even say that Shaq at that time was even though he was so young, he was just a baby rookie coming in the league, he knew there was something special about him. Jordan and Pippen, obviously, Malone and Stockton. You knew these guys were Hall of Famers. I look around the NBA now, I'm not sure who are Hall of Famers. Because there's a lot of guys who are just accumulating stats. Like, look, everyone made a big deal about Kobe Bryant passing Michael Jordan this year. People forget
right.
that Michael Jordan left for 2 years, came back to the Bulls and won 3 straight championships, and then left again for another 4 years, came back with the Wizards and added 4 points to his resume.
Right.
So Kobe's doing everything straight through. Can you imagine if Kobe did the same thing as Michael? He'd be chasing Michael around for the longest of times. So, you know, I'm not diminishing what Kobe does, but still, I don't want to hear that. You know, Kobe's going into the Hall of Fame. I know that, or I'm getting off topic a little bit, but Kobe, I don't know. There's a love hate thing with the NBA fan base and the NBA faithful with Kobe Bryant. There's just a love hate relationship, and that's just the way it is. The way it always has been with Kobe Bryant. When you look around the league right now, who do you think, besides LeBron James and Kobe Bryant, who's Hall of Fame? Who's Hall of Fame about?
Paul Pierce. Right off the bat, I'd say Paul Pierce. Kevin
okay.
Garnett.
Okay.
And then that's when you have to kind of pause and like really think
yeah.
about it.
Well,
okay. Well, first of all, the Spurs. I don't want. You got Ginobili, Tony Parker. Obviously, you got Tim Duncan. Right off the bat, that's three.
Okay. Yeah, I was like, yeah, you got to put Duncan in. Duncan is the man. Like you have to. I think Tim Duncan is probably the most fundamentally still one of the most fundamentally sound players.
Right.
But you,
let me ask you this: would you consider D Wade?
Yes. I would consider Dwayne
okay.
Wade just for the fact he's got 3 rings. I think when you start having the conversation about how many All-Star games he made, and that's the other thing too. I think making the All-Star team has doesn't have the same shine as it has 2 years
mm-hmm.
ago. I would put Wade in there. I wouldn't put Bosch because
Bosch doesn't have he may have the rings, but he doesn't have the individual stats.
He doesn't have the individual presence.
Yeah.
Meaning that if I said, like, here's what I mean by Hall of Famer. You, if I say to you back in the day, I'm going to go see the Phoenix Suns or the Philadelphia 76ers, you're paying money to see Charles Barkley.
Exactly.
There was a point in time you were paying money to see Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade as the moneymaker for the Miami Heat.
Well, see, and that's the piece that I miss, honestly, Randy, where there was a time back in the day that every team had at least 2 or 3, like, really good players. Now it's only a handful of teams, and the rest of them, and I remember you had brought this up before, too, the rest of them are just kind of floating around. But there's really not – I mean, the other day I was looking at, was it Utah? And it was like, I didn't recognize anybody.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like
yeah.
back in the day you saw Utah right off the bat, and you're like, oh, okay, Karl Malone, Stockton, you know.
Boy, you look at it like this, too. And a lot of it has to do because these kids are coming in the league so early now
mm-hmm.
that everybody just gets lumped together. There's no standouts. Like, everyone forgets. Everyone's like, well, Kobe came in early, LeBron came in early. Kevin Garnett came in early, so on and so forth. Look, LeBron James was in a different situation. He's a totally
right.
different animal. He, you know, how many years did it take him to finally make the playoffs? It took him his first 3 years in the league to make the playoffs. So,
right.
let's look at things in a reality standpoint. Kobe Bryant didn't really start coming into his own until his third or fourth year, and at that point, he's 21, 22 years old, which brings up to my argument of raise the age limit. In the NBA, you
and
raise
what would you
the
want
age. They just like if you were an accountant major, or if you were a major in business or something, you have to go through your full college training. I think if you put it in between the ages of 21, 22 years old, maybe you can, because like if you went to school for accounting, or if you went to school to be
A surgeon. A surgeon. We wouldn't want an 18-year-old surgeon.
Right. You're not going to be leaving. Like I always say, the accounting is always the best one because they're not going to pull you out of school early to become an accountant.
Right.
So you have to do your job training. I think college basketball should be your job training. Now, the argument's always going to be that, you know, what gives us the right to try and tell people who, you know, who should go out and make money and who shouldn't go out and make money. I understand that argument. I get that argument. I respect that argument. But if they raise the age limit in the NBA, the level of play will get better. You're not drafting guys on potential. You know, up until this past year, the last senior taken in the top five in the NBA draft was 2006. And
Wow.
that was Sheldon Williams. And he's not even in the league anymore.
Randy, don't you think too, because they're coming out early, that that's what we see so many injuries? Because they just, you know, they're so young. I mean, a lot of them, I mean, like Anthony Davis, I mean, he's doing well now, but some of these guys really need to like beef up. I mean, remember when Kevin Garnett first came out?
But not even the fact they need to beef up. They also need to, you know, have a good understanding of the game. You know, these kids have been playing AAU and playing high school ball, and their coaches just roll the ball out and say, go play.
Right.
Whereas then, so now you're asking NBA coaches to not only win games to keep their jobs, but also teach the game,
Right.
which
And
is.
you're right. They should be coming in not having to go over the fundamentals all over again.
Right, and because that's not fair. That's not fair to, like, I'll use Sacramento for example. You'll bring in young guys, and you're asking guys like Jason Thompson and DeMarcus Cousins, and so many other guys to be patient while the coach is trying to explain, you know, how to do a pick and roll with these guys. It's not right. It's not fair. And it's, you know, it's not fair for the coach. It's not fair for the veterans that you have to go through that. Now, like you just said, look at a team like Utah where they don't recognize anybody because everyone's so young. It's just a different type of team. You take a look at the Brooklyn Nets where they had last season all veterans and with a few young guys. Now you have a nice
Right.
balance, but the team is just not playing well. You have a situation like the New York Knicks. Where you look at them, you had Carmelo Anthony, you had J.R. Smith, and you had all these other guys, and you had to make some moves. And now, you know, the guys show up to practice with name tags on because nobody knows who the hell each other are.
You
So,
have
you
no
know,
idea.
yeah, not a clue. But then you have a situation like the Atlanta Hawks, where you don't have one superstar. You have a bunch of guys who are playing together. That's the way it should be. But you don't. But you have veteran guys helping younger guys along, but you don't have an overabundance of younger guys. I think that
Right.
says something. You know, like I look at Atlanta and I look at Golden State, and they're playing such good team basketball. Now, don't get me wrong, Golden State is stacked with talent. If you compare the two teams as far as talent's concerned, Golden State has 10 times the amount of talent than Atlanta does. Atlanta is now benefiting from playing in a very weaker conference. You know, if you look at We were discussing it yesterday. A few of us were sitting down and talking, and I want to see if you agree with me on this. If you took the Oklahoma City Thunder, Phoenix Suns, and the New Orleans Pelicans, and you put them in the Eastern Conference, they're a top four, five, six seed. Because OKC is 26-25, so they'd be the seventh seed. New Orleans is 27-24. They'd be an 8 seed, and Phoenix is 29-24. Actually, Oklahoma City would still be out because so Phoenix would be a 7 seed, New Orleans would be the 8 seed, and OKC would be a 9 seed if they were in the Eastern Conference. So you'd be eliminating Charlotte and Miami in the East. It's
But
nuts.
see, I think that's almost like unfair for Atlanta because they've proven that they could beat those teams. I mean, they just beat Golden State the other day. So, I mean, I know what everybody's saying, like, you know, there was a lot of reporters there saying, well, you know, we still really have to see what Atlanta can do. But Atlanta has proven that they can beat those people just from the way that they, the style that they play. Now, what's going to be the test is, can they get out of the first round of the playoffs? I think that's when people will be like, okay, I get it.
I think so. I'll tell you why also. I look at them like the same way I look at the Nets from 2002, 2003. You look at Atlanta, and then you look who they'd be playing in round one, Miami. Miami's a tough out. You know, you have a lot of experience on that team. But you have to ask yourself. Yeah, they have a lot of playoff experience. Now, so let me ask, you know, you asked me this question on your show. Let me ask you it here. Do you think that your realignment would be a good thing?
The realignment as far as?
Playoffs. So
the 16. Yeah, I do. Because that's going to eliminate, that's right off the bat, it's going to give you the best teams going forward. We don't need to be sifting through it. It takes up too much time. So just give me the best teams and let's keep it moving.
He goes, in that sense, Charlotte, Miami would be out. New Orleans and Oklahoma City would be in. And then you're reshuffling everybody. And then you have a situation where who's got the worst record of all of them?
Right.
Oklahoma City. But I'm good
with that.
Yeah, that'd be really interesting if they did that. I'd actually like that because, look, don't get me wrong. There's some bad teams in the league. You know, Minnesota's 11-40. New York is 10-41. Philadelphia's 12-40. Oh. Orlando's 16-38. Boston's 19-31. Lakers are 13-38. Utah, Sacramento have 18 wins. Denver's got 19 wins. There's just some really, 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 really bad teams. So the good teams just sort of stick out. Now, if I really quickly went through the conference, and then we're going to make this a shorter show tonight. If I look at you in the Eastern Conference and I say to you, do you see them in the finals representing Eastern Conference? Just say yay or nay. Do you think Miami can be there with the team they have?
No. No.
Charlotte?
No.
Milwaukee?
No.
Okay. Milwaukee's a young team and they're playing very well under Jason Kidd. I think that surprised everybody that they're fighting for a playoff spot. So,
right.
I mean, but
you asked me about finals.
Right.
No.
Right. Yeah. Finals.
Yeah.
Cleveland.
Yes.
Washington.
Yes.
Chicago.
Yes.
Toronto.
No.
Atlanta.
Yes.
Okay.
And let me tell you, I'm having a hard time with Chicago and Washington. I feel like I got to let one of them go. I just don't know which one. But for right now, since I got rid of Toronto, I'll just keep them both yes.
Okay. I'll give you mine. Miami,
okay.
No. Charlotte, no. Milwaukee, no. Cleveland, yes. Washington, no. Chicago, yes. Toronto, no. And I'm going to say Atlanta, no. And I'll tell you why no, because you're 42-10.
I want to know why from Washington and Atlanta. Tell me both.
Yeah. 42-10 for Atlanta. You also have to remember some of the teams that they're beating, too. And you have to remember they might be beating some good teams, but then it has to be a 7-game series as well. So you have to ask yourself, they might be getting a win or two over Chicago, but can they beat Chicago in a 7-game series? Can they beat Cleveland in a 7-game series? Those are the things, that's the thing that sort of sticks with me, because you play Chicago 7 times. It comes down to coaching. I take Thibodeau all the way.
Right. Yeah, he's a beast.
Well, you know, Washington, there's just something about them where you don't feel, like, I look at them, even when they're up like 10 with 6 minutes to go, they still hold on to your hats with them.
Well, and it's so interesting that you said that. That's why I was kind of wavering, because Washington, as good as they are, they're reckless.
That's what it is. That's the word I was.
You can't believe in, like, you can't put all your eggs in one basket with Washington.
Right, and that's the part that scares me about them, because, look, Paul Pierce is erratic, and I know why they got him, so they can have someone who can take the big shot for them. Last year, that was Trevor Ariza, and who's playing awesome in Houston. And, you know, they replaced him with Paul Pierce, who's an older player and not as versatile as Ariza. But, you know, John Wall is not a guy you want to take the big shot. Bradley Beal is still expanding his game. I love Nene, and I love Cortat. I love both of those guys, but we're not at a point yet where I think they're still maybe a year or two away, and I still feel they need more depth on their bench. I don't believe it. I don't believe in them. And I said earlier in the year that they were going to be a number two seed, but just because you finish as a number two seed doesn't mean you're going to go to the next rounds of the playoffs. So, in the Western Conference, we have to do 10 teams. I'll give you the 10 teams. You can tell me whether you think you see them in the playoffs. OKC. I mean, the finals. I'm sorry. OKC. Okay, New Orleans. Phoenix.
No.
San Antonio.
Yes.
Clip. Oh. San Antonio's no or yes?
Yes. San Antonio's yes.
Okay, Clippers. Dallas.
Yes, I can see them in the finals.
Portland.
I can actually see Portland.
Houston.
No.
Memphis.
Yes.
Golden State.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, for me, OKC, no. New Orleans, no. Phoenix, no. I say San Antonio, yes, because I think they're going to be moving up because there's some injuries for some different teams, and they're playing a lot better than they have been. Clippers, no. They're just injuries has decimated that team. I can't see them staying where they are. I actually say Dallas, yes. I love Dirk, love Rajon Rondo. Monta Ellis is playing well. I love Chandler Parsons, Tyson Chandler. That team has an edge to them. And just imagine if they had Rondo from the beginning of the year. My God, that would be so scary. Portland, no, for me. And reasoning why, I'm not ready to put LaMarcus Aldridge and Damian Lillard as the now of the NBA. I think that they still need a few pieces to get there. I think they'll make the second round, but I don't see them being there at the end of the day.
Okay.
Houston, okay. No.
Injuries.
Not only injuries, I don't trust Patrick Beverley as my point guard. I don't. At the end of the day, you want to have a guy who's going to be able to – that's one of the reasons why I like Jeremy Lin so much, and I guess I said that out loud, because he balances the game. He balances the game out, and he's a point guard. He doesn't want to shoot the ball 14 to 20 times. He wants to pass the ball off and get the ball to his scorers. And I also think they're missing Chandler Parsons this year. So Houston's no. I look at Memphis, yes. And the reason why is one name that's added confidence to this team. It's added depth to their bench, and it's proven unbelievable leadership. And I bet you when I say this name, we're all going to say about 10 years ago, we would never picture this man as a leader. But the name is Vince Carter.
Yeah, but you know what? I totally agree with you. And I could see as Vince got older, he was going to be not only a better player, but a better leader. So, yeah, I agree with you 100%.
I love him to death. I think Vince is awesome. And what he's doing with that team, just, coming in, he's one of those players that has gotten better with age. He's adjusted.
Yeah, and the last two seasons, they've always, almost been right there. So they're just kind of getting closer. And I don't know if you saw the other night, they tore Atlanta apart.
Yeah.
They're just very aggressive and fast.
And the one thing that I've said that they had been missing for a while was shooting. I didn't feel they really had shooters. Last year they had Mike Miller, but he didn't really play as many games as they really would have liked him to. Vince gives them a nice shooting touch off the bench. They have Courtney Lee. They made a nice move. They picked up Jeff Green, which I think is a brilliant trade for them. So they have another scorer on that team. So Memphis is right there. People also are not looking at the big picture. Toronto is 7 years back from Atlanta, which is almost impossible sometimes. To cut into that seven-game lead is going to be very difficult for Toronto, especially since Toronto's going through injuries. Memphis is only three back of Golden State, which is totally catchable.
Yeah.
So that's a little scary to me. That's very scary to me. So, and Golden State, I can picture them in the finals. The key for them is going to be Bogut. If Bogut stays healthy and can protect the rim, I really do see the Golden State Warriors being there. My conference final picks will be This is going to be so tough. Memphis and Golden
well,
State
don't,
in one
don't,
of those.
Well,
go ahead.
Let me ask you this before you even say that. Do you think the winner this year is going to come from the West? Do you think the winner of the national championship is going to come from the West, the team from the West?
Yeah, because I think there's a logically.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's six teams that can win a championship this year.
Right, from the West.
Four. Just in general, I think.
Oh, just in
teams,
general. Okay.
And I take six teams seriously. Those teams are Golden State, Memphis, Dallas, San Antonio, and these are the two that's good Friday, Chicago and Cleveland.
Okay.
And the reason why I picked Cleveland is during that 12-game winning streak, that's scary if they can play the way like that they've been playing.
Right.
Where Kevin Love is giving you a double-double. Kyrie Irving and LeBron James are playing out of their minds. Love what J.R. Smith has done. Timothy Mozgov, as long as he stays out of foul trouble and stays on the court, such a key component for them. I wouldn't be surprised if Cleveland tries to make one more move to shore up their front line a little bit more before the trade deadline. I wouldn't surprise me whatsoever. Chicago, Derrick Rose is on the court a lot more now, playing with Pau Gasol. Jimmy Butler has turned into an all-star. That team, again, they just need to find a little bit more of their soul and start being the nitty and gritty team again. They do that. I don't care who you're for the Western Conference. It's going to be difficult. In the West, look, San Antonio knows it's not a sprint. It's a marathon.
Right.
They're resting their guys up. They're pushing through. Did they have their rodeo trip yet?
I don't think so.
Wait, when they do that rodeo trip is when they usually come together and just start dominating. Look, they're half a game behind the Clippers for the sixth spot, and they're two games back from Dallas. I think they're gonna jump into the top four because Portland hasn't been the same even with LaMarcus Aldridge back in the lineup. I think San Antonio's gonna pop up there. They're the defending champions, but they just don't have the drive they have last year because it's not like it was last year where they were playing because they wanted to beat the Heat. They wanted to get back to the finals. I don't see that same drive from San Antonio. I think they have the ability to be there, and that's why I just can't count them out.
Now, out of these six teams that you mentioned, which team after the playoffs, or excuse me, after All-Star Weekend, do you find if they don't step it up, they're done? Like I would think Dallas out of all these teams.
Yeah,
if they don't keep the
Dallas
momentum going,
I think Dallas. Dallas has to keep rolling. They have to keep moving. They have to be able to. They need to have like a two or three different 5-game winning streaks. You know, so at some point during the year, they need to have a nice string of victories. It hasn't been that way, but that's what they need. That's what they need to have. At some point or another. The other two teams, like Golden State and Memphis, are in the driver's seat. But I can picture a team like that. I can picture a team. If I had to bet on which one would get eliminated earlier between Memphis and Golden State, I'd probably say Golden State. Because they live and die by the three.
Right.
And I trust Gasol and Zach Randolph taking 10 to 12 foot jump shots more than I trust Klay Thompson and Stephen Curry taking 3-point shots. So,
well, I want to let you know, out of your six teams, I would take Chicago out of the equation, and I am going to have some faith and put Atlanta there.
Okay, no, Atlanta's playing great team ball. You can't deny that. There's also something about the Cavaliers that they just keep playing. They keep doing what they're doing. And you know what bothers me on the bottom of the Eastern Conference is the Hornets. And I said they were going to be up like a 5 seed earlier before the season started. They're finally playing better. They won. They put a nice string of wins together over the last few weeks. What bothers me about this is if they would have just, listened to their coaching staff a little earlier in the season, they wouldn't be going through what they're going through. They have a lot of talent on that team. Gerald Henderson, Kemba Walker, Al Jefferson, Lance Stephenson. If his head is on straight, he's a very dangerous guy. If he's not, forget about it. And I would
he's
love
still
to see
a dangerous guy.
Yeah, he's a dangerous guy. He's still a dangerous guy. Yeah, there's a dangerous guy of basketball skill, then there's a dangerous skill of stupidity, and that's why Indiana
right.
was like Indiana was showing him the door.
Right.
So, you know, look, not for nothing, Miami has 21 wins, is in the eighth spot. Indiana has 20 wins. They're two games back of that last playoff spot. Is it too early to say, too early or too late to count out Indiana from picking up that last playoff spot, even though they have a very under 500 record?
Well, here's the thing. You know, who was it? Somebody sent a tweet out saying Paul George is coming back off after the All-Star game, and then he sent a tweet out. He was like, am I? So, I mean, to me, unless they get Paul George back and he's healthy, I don't think it's going to happen.
I agree. But let's you look at it. You have the Nets and Heat both tied for the eighth spot in the East. Then you have Detroit, Indiana, and Boston two games back. If I had to say to you, out of those five teams, Boston, Indiana, Detroit, Brooklyn, and Miami, who's taking that last spot?
Boston, Detroit, Indiana, Brooklyn.
Yep.
You know what? I'm gonna go with KG.
You go KG and go Brooklyn?
Yeah.
That's
fair. I'm gonna go with Brooklyn. Because at the end of the day, KG, he can dog it and he can get them there.
Yeah.
Now they won't get past the first round, but
no.
They at least
will
get them there.
Well, then let me throw this at you too. Charlotte's only a half a game ahead of Miami in the seventh spot. So let's not count that the whole mess out too. So you basically have
right.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams fighting for two spots.
Now, are you surprised that Charlotte is doing so well? I know I am.
I'm not.
I saw with all the drafts that they had over these past few years, it had to kind of come together.
Yeah, I think Steve Clifford has his work cut out for him. They didn't lose much from last season. So they just need to go back to their work ethic, bring their lunch pail to work, and just work really, really, really hard. All right, we're down to the final
right.
2 minutes here. Nicole, I know you got to get off the line real quick. Let's let everybody know. Let everybody know where they can find you.
Yeah, you can hit me up on my website, twsssports.com. You can follow me on Twitter, @TWSSSports, and then I'm also on Instagram @SheSaidSports.
Awesome, and check her out every week. She has a great radio show down in Atlanta. You can listen to it online. You can catch me on a week.
Well, this has been fun. Thank you so much, Randy. I appreciate it.
No, thank you for coming on. I appreciate it. I always appreciate having you on, and we'll talk soon, definitely.
Okay, thanks. You guys have a great night.
You too. Filling in for Seth Kamens and Sean Palmer, my name is Randy Zellia, and we'll talk to you guys soon. Seth and Sean will be back next week. See you guys later.